Great. Now that everyone has recovered some energy with this coffee break, we are going to start the second session. And the first speaker is going to be Isabel Valera, who is currently a postdoc at the Machine Learning Group in Cambridge, in the University of Cambridge.
Thank you, Miguel. So it seems that I picked the wrong size of the slides, but I hope you see the presentation right. This is a joint work with Subing Alamani, and it's about the automatic discovery of the statistical type of variables in a data set. So let me start with the motivation of the problem. So nowadays we have access to tons of data coming from different sources. For example, medical data, online data from social networks, online encyclopedias, or sensor data. But this data don't come only from different sources, but they also usually come in different forms. So some of them come as signals, so real value signals. Some of them come as images, as text. So the idea here is that in general, whenever we need to deal with real world data, we are usually given with directly the raw data, which is usually a structure, contains some missing data and errors, and we might not have access to any documentation, and this documentation can be incomplete or improper. So before running any data analysis in our data, we need to do some pre-processing step, which usually the output is to get a structured data set in which we have our data represented as objects and a set of attributes describing these objects. However, usually before running any predictive analytics, like running some prediction task or some data exploration, we usually need to know which kind of data we have in our hands. That means, for example, we don't treat a prediction task in the same way if we are trying to predict categorical data, in which we usually formulate as a classification task, than if we are trying to predict ordinal data, which is, for example, an ordinal regression problem. Similarly, the way we input our data in the machine learning tool changes according to the kind of data that we are dealing with. So, for example, in classification, a common approach is that you take your categorical variables and you split into as many binary categories, one versus all, as categories you have. Or in a probabilistic modeling framework, what you usually need to pick is a likelihood model that captures the kind of data you have. So in recent years, we can find quite some work in the first step, the preprocessing step, with tools for automatically preprocess the data. There are tools for cleaning, for rolling, or for integration even. But the data type selection is usually something that we still do, the data scientists do by hand, or even the likelihood model is assumed to be known. So you are usually take your data and have a look and think that, okay, this is categorical. So as this, the availability of data increases and the heterogeneity of the data also increases, doing this by hand might be problematic. So we agreed, at least Subin and I, that there was a lack of tools for automatic labeling, data labeling. But before, so that in this work, I'm going to introduce a Bayesian method to discover the statistical data types of the variables in a data set. But before introducing our method, let me give you a better flavor of what is the problem that we are trying to solve and what are the main challenges of this problem. So once we have preprocessed our data and we have a structured data set, which, as I said before, we have objects and attributes, it may happen that these of the attributes are either continuous or discrete and from an unknown data type. So distinguishing whether a variable is discrete or continuous can be, in principle, solved in an easy way, applying some logic rules or heuristics. For example, you can count the number of unique values in a variable and see how many times each of these variables shows up to distinguish whether something is discrete or continuous. However, whenever we want to distinguish between different groups of either continuous or discrete variable, this is not as easy. For example, in the case of continuous, we can consider real value data, positive real value data, interval data that take only values in an interval, for example, 0 and 1. And between among discrete variables, here I'm going to consider categorical data. I will enter a bit later in the distinctions among them, ordinal data and count data. So there are two main challenges whenever we want to classify the variables or the attributes that we have in our data sets. The first one is that, in general, our data sets are finite. We have a finite subsample of this variable. So in some cases, it is hard to distinguish whether you have observed a finite subsample of an infinite support variable, or you are observing a variable that only takes values in an interval. As an example here, I saw two histograms with 1,000 samples. One of them comes from a beta distribution, and therefore corresponds to an interval variable that takes value between 0 and 1. And the other one is it's from a gamma distribution that have an infinite support from 0 to infinite. So by a single look, you can observe that both histograms, taking out the scale that I can play with, look pretty similar. So if I only observe the data, how do I distinguish whether this of this variable is interval or positive real? The second main challenge is that whenever I want to distinguish among different type of discrete data, the first thing I need to have a look to is whether there is an order in the data or there is not an order in the data. However, the order in the data, or the concept of an order, only makes sense given a context. What do I mean by a context? As an example, if we think of colors, usually we tend to think that colors don't really have an order. Here I plot an image of M&Ms because I don't think any of us consider that M&Ms colors have any order. Well, however, whenever we thought of the colors in a traffic light, there is a clear order. You better don't pass the traffic light when it is red, right? So once we have what's the problem, I'm going to propose a Bayesian method to distinguish at least among these six type of variables that I had before using a probabilistic model. This probabilistic model is based on three main ideas. The first one is that I have a latent structure in the data that I can capture using a low-rank representation. This low-rank representation will have two main features. The first one is that it will capture the statistical dependencies among the different attributes in my variable, and also will allow me to represent my likelihood, given the low rank representation of the data set, to factorize for each of the dimensions of my data set. That's it for each of my attributes. The second key idea is that for each of my attributes, I can assume that I have a likelihood model that is in turn a mixture of likelihood functions. So this is a mixture of likelihood functions. So I'm going to assign a weight for each likelihood function L, and then I'm going to have here a likelihood function that will be a probability density function or a probability mass function according to whether I'm dealing with continuous or discrete variables. And this likelihood model is a valid likelihood model as long as the weights for each attribute assigned to all the likelihood models that I will consider, I have as many likelihood models as type of variables I want to consider, sum up to one. And these are normalized probability density or mass functions. And the third key idea is that in order to make our inference life a bit easier, I'm going to introduce an auxiliary real-valued variable, which is a Gaussian variable that I call pseudo-observation. And I'm going to assume that there is a mapping function that maps from the real line, from my pseudo-observation, to the support of the likelihood model L. Then, as I said, I have a pseudo-observation that I will call Y, that is a normal variable with the mean given by the latent representation I was introducing before. And then I will assume that I can obtain my actual observation, whatever type this observation is, by applying some transformation to my sub-observation, and I might have some additional source of noise here. So this is the final graphical representation of my model. As I said, this is what I observe, which are my data. I don't have in each of my attributes that I call D, which kind of data I have. I will need to learn the latent representation, the sub-observation, and my goal, which is the weights assigned to each likelihood model or each data type in my that I'm gonna consider from the data. So the good thing is that based on this model, I can run efficient MCMC algorithm which have linear complexity with the number of attributes, and it can be parallelized in the number, linear complexity in the number of objects, and can be parallelized in the number of attributes. And ideally, the output weight will be sparse, in the sense that I will have ideally 1-1 for the actual true type of the data that I have in an attribute, and zeros for the rest. Simply to give you some examples about how I apply this kind of transformation, I have plotted here some examples. But in the case of continuous variable, I will simply need a function that maps from the real line to whatever, to either the real line or an interval in the real line. I need these functions to be differentiable. That's my main constraint to deal with continuous variables. In the case of discrete variables, since I am conditioning on a Gaussian observation, the model that easily arise for categorical and ordinal data are respectively the Probit model and the ordinal Probit model. At the end, the only thing I'm gonna need to do is to apply function that, for example, take the maximum of some Gaussian sub-observations here. I have as many as categories, or simply split my real line into as many intervals as categories I have and see where my sub-observation fall. Similarly, for count data, the only thing I do is that I map the real line to the positive real line, and then I truncate to the integers that I have in the real line. So I have experimented with both synthetic and real world data sets, and with both continuous and discrete variables. So in this plot, I first focus on continuous variables and in synthetic experiments. So I have generated data sets that are unidimensional, so I only have one dimension, which I sample from either a beta distribution that I scale differently and I pick different parameters, as an example of interval data, from gamma distributions as an example of positive real value data, and from Gaussians as an example of real value data. In general, we can observe, here we have the box plots, we can observe that in general we can efficiently or accurately find the true statistical type of the data, but we also observe that, for example, here, for the last example, this beta, which is a pretty, presents some tail in the distribution, it's not clear the truncation here, the positive real value is also a likely explanation for this kind of data. Similarly, whenever I have examples from a Gaussian distribution, I only have 1,000 samples. Since here I'm considering Gaussian distributions that are more heavy-tailed than the gammas and the beta, I find that both, that they can be explained by both type of data, real and interval. However, if I now switch to real world data, what I have found is that there, in general, in real data sets, there is a latent structure that is pretty strong, and there are quite some dependencies across data. And this will allow us to distinguish between whether if for one attribute we have observed the tail of the distribution, but for another attribute we see that the values are very truncated in an interval, then it is very likely that the first is not truncated while the second it is. Here I saw an example in which I saw the length and the weight of the Avalon in the Avalon UCI dataset, and I inferred that the length is a real valued variable with pretty some confidence, while the weight is a positive real. There is a clear truncation here. Similarly, I have generated synthetic data for the three types of discrete data that I have. As I said, we need a context, so I have generated synthetic data in which I have some continuous variable that relate to the actual variables. And in general, in these plots, we have observed that we can observe that whenever the ground truth is categorical, ordinal, or count data, I can, in general, accurately infer the actual true type of the data. And I can do it in a robust way with respect to the model complexity. The model complexity is the size of my low-run representation. What is the dimensionality of my low-run representation? Additionally, whenever I have applied to real-world data, in this case, I took the German data set, I observed that in principle errors that were made by the algorithm were in fact sensible whenever I had a look to the actual data. So here, for example, I plot the duration in month and the age in the German data, which both of them at the beginning can be thought of as count data. However, I've learned that the duration in months is ordinal data. I accurately infer that the age is count data. Why does this happen? I mean, one of the main assumptions in count data is that we are assuming that the distance between every two values in count data is the same. For example, the distance between 1 year and 2 years should be the same that between 24 years and 25 years. This usually leads to smooth distributions of those sorts. However, here we don't have a smooth distribution at all. And this is why, although there is an order, I cannot explain this kind of data as a count data, but as an ordinal data, where I don't have this restriction. Similarly, if I think of the number of credits, that might be thought as count data again, or the job, that might be thought as categorical data. However, both of them are inferred to be ordinal data. In the case of the credits, that might be simple by the finite number of categories that I have, also by the distance between the different number of credits. But in the case of the jobs, it's pretty also clear that there is an order in the label. So this is non-resident, unskilled, employed, or unemployed. Resident is skilled employee, and high qualified employee. So there is an actual order in the data. So why do we really need to account for the actual true type of data in our data set? I have run a predictive task in which I have removed 10% of my data in 7 data sets that I pick from the UCI. And computed the test log likelihood provided by our model that accounts for the uncertainty in the data types that I have, with a baseline that assumes that all the continuous variables are real valued and all the discrete variables are categorical. And here we observe that in general, we do a pretty much better job at fitting the data. The main conclusion I got from this work after all these experiments is that sometimes the documentation might be misleading, and the main one is that we also need to put some effort in developing methods and techniques that account for the uncertainty in the type of data that we are dealing with. And in a probabilistic modeling framework, maybe we should learn the likelihood model together with the rest of the model parameters from the data. That's it. Thank you very much.
After time for a few questions.
How do you handle rounding? So many data sets are rounded to 2 digits, where the underlying known or like the weight and the abalone is actually a real value thing, but it's measured or written down only using a rounded precision. Do you handle that?
In general, for now, I'm not directly accounting for that, but in the model, I mean, you can consider as many likelihood models as you wish. So you might have some likelihood models in which you have this truncation anyways. In the case of the Avalon, was it? Yeah. The Avalon, I mean, I detected it as a continuous variable because at the end, even though there was some kind of truncation, the number of values were not, I mean, they were not repeating. So it's a continuous variable. I didn't know whether, did I get your question?
Maybe related one, sorry, if anyone else asked me. So in, for example, the UCI forest fire data set, they have a quantity which is square meters of forest burned or hectares of forest burned. And it's a mixed continuous discrete distribution. So there's 50% of the mass is at exactly zero, nothing burned, right? And for the other 50% of the instances, it's a continuous value. Do you handle the mixed measure case?
Yeah, actually, I haven't shown any experiments here, but I have quite some experiments. The thing is that since I'm modeling, I'm assuming a latent structure in my data, which can be seen as a mixture, because I have a matrix factorization. I can easily have that half of the data or whatever percentage of the data comes from an interval data or from a delta in whatever place it is placed, and some other distribution. This is not a problem because at the end, the only thing you are assuming is that you have weights that are distributed. Instead of having zeros and one, one, you have the mass distributed across different type of data.
Okay, that's Anne, Isabel.